As you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, and beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And he gave, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And when he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received the 2 talent, that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You and praise You for all that You do for us. Lord, we thank You so much for placing us in this place tonight. Lord, we pray for each and every one that's here that You might be magnified and glorified. Lord, that You might be seen. Lord, that You'd speak to the lost according to Your mercy and grace, that You might convict them of their condition and where they stand before You in eternity. Lord God, we as a people that are saved, that You might show us exactly what we need to have done in our lives, what would be pleasing to You of our own lives. And Lord, we'd be faithful to give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. For it is in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Now, I'd like to be preaching this evening on the thought, why don't we get back to work? Why don't we get back to doing what the Lord left us to do? And it's very, very important that as we approach the last day, that we don't give up. And I've seen a great tendency among the Lord's people just to, to say, okay, well, that's it. We've gone as far as we can do. We've done all we can do. Let's quit. But you know what? There is never a spot in the Word of God where that's even given as an option to quit and start and just quit doing what the Lord has given us to do. He said, go ye into all the world, and as far as I know, we're still to do that. We're never to stop. We're to continue until He comes or we die, whichever comes first. We're to continue the work that He's given us to do. In the modern day, I think sometimes we forget what He left us to do was that specific. Now, as the Lord Jesus is talking and He's finished, if you're familiar with your King James Bible, in 24 he discussed some things that would indicate His coming. Now, when we think about the coming of Christ, it's almost we want to slow down and stop. But you know what? Isn't it a wonderful thing that as soon as He gets done with that, He says, keep working. As soon as He says, yes, I'm coming, yes, I will return, and yes, it will be soon, He immediately backs it up and says, get to the field. You continue with what you're doing. It's not a quitting spot. And we as the Lord's people, we just need to continue to do that, and in whatever capacity that we can find, that's what we need to do. And so He says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, I won't get too deeply into that, but there is a difference between the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. They're two different entities. But I want you to say, He says here, for the kingdom of heaven as a man traveling into a far country. You know what? When our Lord Jesus ascended, He promised He'd come back. When He was leaving this world, He gave us a specific thing to do, and that was to go all into all the world and preach the kingdom. That's all we, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way I see it, there's really 3 purposes of the church, and we fail miserably at most of them. The first one is to propagate the gospel into all the world, into every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. That is what one of the purposes of the church is to do. The other one is to give praise and glory and honor to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fail miserably when it comes to that one. And then the last one is to disciple new believers. And I think we fall very miserably in that as well. You know, Brother Reynolds was telling me that they used to have these classes, and we did the same thing at New Testament for a long time. The Lord had saved some folks, and they were excited, and we just had time to disciple them and say, this is what we believe. These are the tenets of the faith. This is what the Word of God teaches. We need to do that. You're not born Baptist. You have to be discipled. You have to be trained. You have to know why. You know why our churches are falling away? It's because these little ones like that through here, they don't know why they believe it. Now, I don't know how it is here in this area, but back home, we are the only Sovereign Grace Church in our county, but people that call themselves Baptists are everywhere. And not only do they not know what the true tenets of Baptist doctrine is, they'd be opposed to it. They would say, election is not fair. No. The reason that they would say that is they've never been trained. They've never been discipled. And so we see as the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching this, He reminds them that I am leaving, I am going, and you're the servants. He delivered unto him the goods. Now listen, we live in a day and age where the goods are very well evil spoken of. A doctrine, you could just go all the way down through, but I'll give you two that's hated today, that you can do nothing to be saved in and of yourself. That is a hated truth. And I'll give you another one. Come out from among them and be separate. That is a despised doctrine in the modern day, but it's there. We need to look different, act different, and present different than the world. And so we see that as the Lord Jesus Christ is really fixing to go back to glory, He reminds them of some things that they need to do. He delivered us the goods. We have the gospel. We have the truth concerning the church. And He gave that to them and says, you take care of it. Verse 15. And He gave to one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Now, first of all, I want you to see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to ask you to do something He's not equipped you to do. He says, I'll give you a several or various abilities, and you use what I've given you. Now, I don't have but 2 that I know of. I can preach some, and I can take care of elderly people really, really well. That's my several ability. And you know what? To the day that I'm pushing up daisies somewhere, I will use that to the very best of my ability. That's all I know to do. Brother Wayne, I know that he can preach. I've heard him preach many, many, many times. He uses that. Now, I learned today that he can play the piano. I've never seen him use that. Don't lose it, brother. That's a talent, right? And I don't know what your talents are, but I know if He saved you, you have some. Now, these individuals, you know what? There were 2 of them that were anxious to use what the Lord gave them. They put them out there. They put them to the exchangers. That means they worked. That means they got out there and checked on things. And He gained them. But you had one individual that went and digged in the earth and hid it. Now, we have a lot of people today, that's what they're doing. They're hiding their faith. And they're digging in the earth. And they're putting it down there and don't even know that they've ever been born again. Now, y'all can enlighten me some because this really ain't the focus of the message. But, you know, I know salvation is eternal, right? We know that from the Word of God. But we also know that, at least in type, this is a parable, that He was cast into outer darkness. So, my interpretation of that is that He was a fake. He was not real. And you know what? I'm afraid today in good, solid Baptist churches, a lot of the problem is not so much that they don't want to go. It's their fakes. They've never really... You remember what He said to Peter? And listen, you know, Peter's one of those things that's right on the borderline whenever the Lord Jesus went in and offered the atonement. You know, about 2.5 years in, He said, Thou art the Christ. But you know what He said? He said, Peter, when you are converted,
He wasn't converted yet, was he? Now, I don't know that. I know converted means changed. I believe he'd been saved, but he wasn't changed. And I believe we live in a modern day today where there may be a few people that are saved, but they're not changed. And if you've not been changed, I would look very carefully at my salvation and be certain that I have what I thought I have, because I believe sometimes we just chalk it up to the day that we live in, and what the real problem is that we don't love Jesus like we should. We're not endeared to Him as we should. We don't desire the things He desires, and the result is that we do nothing for the cause of Christ. You know what? You might never not be embarrassed about it here, but when you stand in the throne room, you'll be sadly embarrassed if you've done nothing for the kingdom of God. You'll be very embarrassed in that day. And so we see that the Lord Jesus, in giving us this parable, we find it very imperative that we do continue in what He's given us to do. Now, drop down to verse 18. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 20. And so when he had received, and so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me unto 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now, I want you to see what we find in that is accountability. You are accountable. When the Lord saved your soul, if He give you a burden to go do something, from that day forward, you're accountable. If He give you a burden to preach the gospel, you know what? You better get out somewhere and start preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because from that day forward, you are accountable. Those of you that have children, the Bible says, train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. If you have children, you have a responsibility. From the day they're born to the day they die, you are responsible to train them. Now, listen, we live in a day and age today where the last thing that anybody wants to hear about is responsibility. But listen, we have a responsibility. He didn't save you to sit in this church building. He saved you to go. Speak the name of Jesus. To tell the goodness of our Lord. That's the purpose of salvation. Drop down to verse 30, and I just want to read this for you. I mentioned it. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you know, again, this is a parable, but do you think it's interesting that is the same activity that goes on in the lake of fire? I don't think that's coincidence, do you? And so I want you to see that these individuals were accountable for what they did. And you can't help but wonder, maybe if you do nothing, maybe especially if you are not motivated to do anything, maybe you don't have what you think you do. That would be my concern. If I never cared anybody about the soul of my neighbor, or if I never cared anything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You can preach this book anywhere you want to. Ladies, I know that the Bible says that you're not to be a preacher, but you can be in the grocery line and say, let me tell you about what the Lord has done for me. And you know what? Young boys, you young preacher boys back there, get you out on the street corner somewhere and begin to declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can preach somewhere. You know, I don't know where we got the hang up that this is the only place we can preach. Do you? When did that start? I don't know either, but I know that's not what Paul ascribed to, was it? He was out there. He didn't meet Lydia in the church house. Where did he meet Lydia? Down on the creek bank. Right? Where did he meet the Philippian jailer? Down at the jailhouse, right? See, we need just to get up and go. We just need to be on the move. And today, and we look around and we want to twist our hands and get the boo-hoos. Why ain't our church houses full? Well, a lot of the reason is because we don't get out and go. Now go with me way back to the book of Genesis. Because we read of an individual that was not trapped by his circumstance. Now, I know what every one of you are thinking. Well, you don't understand, and I have to work, and I believe me, I've heard it all. And more than hearing it all, I've said it all, why I can't get the job done. Well, listen, we're fixing to look into an individual that became a missionary and spoke the things of God wherever he was at, irregardless of his circumstance. And he always was faithful to that, and God blessed him greatly for it. And it was before the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to Genesis chapter 39 in the very first verse. Genesis 39 in the very first verse, the Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt." Now, what brought Joseph to Egypt was this, is his 11 brothers sold him out. And first of all, they captured him. They made Daddy believe he was dead, and they sold him onto a train of Ishmaelites going on down to Egypt, and he was sold into slavery. Listen, you know what? We don't even understand the concept of that. You know what we would do? We would have quit long before then. And you talk about being bitter against some brothers and sisters, most of us would have been very upset and very angry. The last thing that we would have been thinking about is our testimony. Right? But Joseph was not like that, and despite of the bad circumstance that he found in, I want you to see what he did. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now, if you underline in your Bible, you note that one, because that tells me, irregardless where we're at, we can be prosperous with God. Now, you know what? As a slave, he owned nothing. He possessed nothing. All he really had was the day of food that he had presently. He wasn't getting wages. He wasn't getting money. All that he got, he was an indentured slave servant. And it said, even in that venue, God blessed him. So that tells me, first of all, I don't want to hear about the problems that you may or may not have. See, instead of looking at our problems, we need to look at our possibilities. I want you to do me a favor. If you plugged in and get to the internet, I want you look up a woman named Lydia Baxter. She was a hymn writer, and you sing a song that she wrote. But what most people don't realize, she wrote that while she was paralyzed. And this is not paralyzed from a C7 injury from wrapping a vehicle around a tree somewhere because she was drunk. She had a disease, and this occurred in the early 1800s. Listen, it was this was, you could say, completely of God. And she made the best of the situation she was placed in. And in fact, that was not the only hymn she wrote. And so we find as the Lord's people, when these things come our way, is that what we need to do is say, what can I do to glorify my God here? Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Can you imagine that? An Egyptian heathen looking and saying, man, God's with him. You know, he didn't even know the God of the Bible. And we find that he understands and knows that God's with him. Can somebody say that of you? If they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't know anything about the goodness of our God, can they look on you at the workplace and say, you know what, God's with that man. That's an amazing thing to say, isn't it? You know what that tells me also? Is we have a testimony whether we like it or not. Now, his was a good one. What about yours? Because you do have a testimony. There are people that you influence and meet on a day-by-day basis, and you're leaving them with something
every time you meet them. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over all his house and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time, from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that the Lord provided him. See, isn't it an amazing thing? You have this heathen Egyptian, and because of Joseph, he's being blessed. Have you ever thought that you might be that for somebody else? Now, I don't know about where you work, and right now, the nursing job I have, I just kind of check in occasionally, see my patients, and go home and be quiet. But I worked in situations where I thought I was the last one there. You ever worked in a situation where there were literally almost no other believers there whatsoever? And you felt like you were just, you know, on Alcatraz. There's a reason you're there. Are you being a missionary? Are you doing what God's called you to do in the situation that He's given you? Because we see that not only is Joseph faithful to that, he flourishes in that, he begins to have a great testimony, and people began to understand who he is. Now, I want you to see that anytime that occurs, look out, trouble is on the way. The enemy agent was dispatched in the person of Potiphar's wife. And she came against him. And you know what? Men, you listen to me. She came to him in the form of lust. And you know why that was an easy choice for the devil to use? It's because men are bent that way. Young men, you watch what I'm telling you. Keep yourself pure. Young ladies, keep yourself pure. And you won't have to deal with this. And so she pressed him. Him being faithful unto God, he ran from the sin, and he ends up in jail. Now, does that seem fair to you? Fleeing from sin and ending up in jail. But that's exactly what happened. You know what that tells me? It ain't always going to be lemonade and roses. Sometimes you're going to do the right thing, and the results is going to be very, very different than you think. So he does what's right. He flees from sin. And when he flees from sin, he ends up down in the prison house. You know what? You may too. Just because you're faithful don't mean we're going to do a big group hug and everything's going to be great. You may end up down at the jailhouse. Whatever that is in your life. And so we find that that's exactly what happens. And if Joseph had not been the man that he was, he probably would have given up. Drop down to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Now, if you star in your Bible, you star that one. Because he's arrested. He thinks things is going good. Potiphar's wife betrays him. Throws him down to prison. And in the prison, and listen, things have not gone real good yet. But down in that prison, all it says is the Bible says the Lord was with him. Now, is the Lord with you? That's a very important question, is it not? Is the Lord with you? When you come to this place tonight, was the Lord with you? On the workplace today, was the Lord with you? Because see, a lot of times we get so caught up and so overwhelmed with doing what the world demands of us, we forget that what we really need, the essential item, is the Lord. And it says, even though that he, at least in man's eyes, had lost it all, he's down there back in prison, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was next to him. You know what? It's not going to be
You know, I don't know whoever came up with, what idiot came up with this health and wealth theology. Did you? They must not read the same Bible that I read. Because every time I read where a man of God made a great stand for God, trouble went right with it. Every time. You know, all 11 of the apostles died, and they didn't die pleasantly. See, we need to get out of our mind that just because we're Christians, everything's going to be just, you know, wonderful good. In fact, if you're faithful to Him, it'll get bad. It'll get worse. And so we see that despite all that had happened, despite the betrayal of Potiphar's wife, we find him in prison, and we find that the Bible says, despite everything, that the Lord was with him. But the Lord was with Joseph and shewed mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Now, we find what happens here is that Joseph makes the best out of the situation he's given. Now, I don't know if y'all, except Brother Wayne, and I don't know that he's been there. He's been to Clarksville. But I don't know if y'all know much about Dover. I know two of you have been to God's country. Came back to Egypt. No. But Dover's not that big. We have a traffic light now. We've only had a traffic light for about 10 years. A very impressive thing. It hangs over where 79 and 49 meet. But that's where God put me. Right? The best I know, I'm to be there. And I'm to do everything I can while I'm there. And see, Joseph knew that. He didn't question why God put him where he was at. He didn't blaspheme the name of God. He didn't shake his face at God. He was put in prison, and there's where he blossomed. See, we really want and expect too much, don't we? You know, we're not guaranteed anything. And so, if you get some bad news, just know that wherever that places you, you're to bloom in the place that the Lord's given you, and to give Him praise and glory and lift up people instead of putting them down. And so we find that Joseph was not upset. He wasn't at the point of quitting. He did not see this as the end of his role, but rather continued for the things of God. Genesis 40, this time dropped down to verse 8. Genesis 40 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. This is when Joseph begins to use a God-given ability for the service of God. Now, I don't know what your God-given ability is, but I do know this, what it is, you use it for God. If all you can do is lick stamps and put them on the envelopes, you put them on there and you send them out and you make sure the stamp is straight when you get it on there. You see what I'm saying? Whatever He's given you to do, you do it. And don't grumble about it. Don't be upset. You know what? Whatever little bit of ability He's granted you, use it. Everything that you do. You know, my mom, she's 81 now, and when she got out of high school, she went to Nashville and got a job at a factory. Now, the people that owned the factory were Jewish. A lot of factories in the South was owned by Jewish people in those days. And she just did her job. You know, that's a concept in the modern day. You just did her job. And the plant owner come by and says, "Hey, there's something different about you." And she just said, "You know, I love the Lord." And
You want to say that to your Jewish boss? But she was faithful in what she was given to do. And you know what? Ultimately, she was promoted, and when she left there, she was doing very, very well. And the reason why she bloomed where she was planted, she wasn't upset. She didn't make any bad statements. And you know what? At that time, the Jewish people, even in the United States, weren't, you know, it wasn't time for a group hug with them. But she respected them. See, wherever you're at, you need to bloom. You need to quit counting your problems and see what the Lord's really done for you. And so you know the rest of this story, that they give him the interpretation. And I believe the first one is was the baker. Maybe it was the cupbearer was the first. And, you know, it's going to be 3 days. And he's going to be all right. And he's going to be restored to his position. It was woohoo! And then the baker said, interpret mine too. And he said, well, you know, ain't going to work out for you. And that's exactly what happened. Pharaoh raised up his head. You know, the problem with raising up your head, it has to be disconnected to raise it up. And he died. You know, and one thing that you learn from that too, be honest. You know what? It's a very difficult thing to tell someone they're not going to make it. And I know because I've done it. But what would you grant? What would you gain by lying to them? What would I gain tonight to tell you that everybody's going to go to heaven? It'd be a lie. You know how I'm going to get to heaven? On the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and plus nothing, minus nothing. That's how I'll get there. And if you get there, that will be how you get there too. And if you're depending on any other thing but that, you know what you need to do? You need to make a calling and election sure. And be sure that you have what you think you have. Because if you don't go on the merit of Christ, you won't go. And so we see, as he's put in this situation, that he just continues to do what God would have him to do. Now, you know the rest of the story. 2.5 years, he hears nothing. He goes about, he does his daily thing, and you know what? You know what time does if you're not real careful? It will embitter you. It will make you mad. You know what? We need to quit dwelling on the past. You know what? I've heard all my life about the great revivals, the great awakening in the 1790s and then again in the 1830s and the incredible things that happened. And you know what? You can read about them and, hey, that's good. But you know what? That's nearly 200 years ago. What's happening now? Has our God changed? Certainly not. Your pastor quoted it last night, Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. Right? So there's no change in our God. So we find that Joseph continues for 2.5 years with the best that we understand, no encouragement at all. Nobody come by and say, hey, Joe, you're doing a good job. Let me have a time of prayer with you. Nothing. For 2.5 years. You think about, really, and I thought about this, and I can't get my mind around it like I should, but could you imagine not being able to come down here to this meeting house and meet with God's people for 2.5 years? You young preacher boys, get down to the nursing home. You have people there that can't do anything, that probably would well love to be here, and they literally can't do it. Can you imagine what Joseph felt? I bet he felt very abandoned, don't you? I bet he felt, you know, but you know, the best we know, he never grumbled, he never complained, he never got to the point of quitting, until 2.5 years later. Can you imagine that cupbearer going, I hate to remind you of this, but you remember when you were mad at me? there's a guy named Joseph down there. And brought him up. And you remember what Joseph said the first thing? He said, This doesn't come from me, this comes from God. The talent he had, which was one of them, was the interpretation of dreams, he gave to God. He says, He's the one that does it, I don't do it. You know, if you can sing, it came from God. If you can preach, it came from God. So why are you not using it? If all you can do is lick stamps, it came from God. And you need to get to the work. Now, in the modern day, I think we've about isolated ourselves to the idea, but mission work is not mission work unless it's in some kind of weird jungle somewhere. But that's simply not true. You know, I go to a lot of places in Tennessee and set up on the street and just declare the glorious gospel of Christ. And I get some weird looks. But you know what? That's mission work. I give them a tract, give them a Bible, whatever I can do for them. And once I plant that seed, I go back to the house and I begin to pray. And I put it in the mighty hands of a mighty God. And He does the rest. So why aren't we doing more? I mean, really. Have you ever thought... And I know it gets discouraging. But the mighty Son of God labored 3.5 years and came out with 12, and one of them was a devil. That's what the Bible says, right? So why are we so down and out? Why are we so discouraged? I don't understand that. You may never pastor. You may never preach. But whatever your vocation is, get in there and do something for the cause of Christ. I remember as a young preacher, I worked in a nursing home at that time as a registered nurse. And I know at least in 1 year, I preached about 14 funerals. Because I had, when you work with the elderly, and if they're at their end of the life, they die. That's just kind of how it goes. And you know, I was on my way to the funeral home. And I had my sermon together and, you know, I was looking at it. And for a split second, I thought, all I'm ever going to do is preach funerals. And then the Lord said, what if it is? Hey, that's a ministry, isn't it? I tell you what, you get people at the funeral home, you won't get on the front seat of the church. So it became a brand new ministry for me. And I would declare the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the thing about funerals is this. That individual's done preached the personal part. All I need to do is add the glorious gospel of Christ to it. That's all we need to do. And so, whatever He's given you to do, you need to get into it and continue to do it and just dig in. And you know what? One of the biggest ideas, the biggest hindrances that will come to you is this: I don't have time. Believe me, I've used that one before. But I'll tell you this, I work a 40-hour week, I pastor a New Testament Baptist church, and I have 3 children still at home, and one of them is completely dependent. And about 2 Saturdays a month, I go out and I set it all aside. Sometimes my handicapped son, Joey, comes with me. If Donna don't have the means to watch him, you know what? Joey sits in the truck while I preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stop making excuses. Right, I went when Joey and Bella come with me. Now, you street preaching with a 5-year-old is very, very challenging. But you can do it. You can do it. And I know you can because I've done it. We just need to go. Put it all the rest of it aside, all the excuses, all the ideas, and just go. Now,
I'm going to read a couple more places for you, and I'm going to close. But very familiar verses of Scripture. I want you to go to Matthew 28, when the Lord Jesus Christ commissions His church. And we're going to look at the commission very, very quickly. Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Now, I know that you understand that that word power both means authority and divine power, strength power. And He says, all that's been given unto Me, and it was given unto Him because He became a victor over death, hell, and the grave. And He had that power, and He's fixing to give some of that authority and power to His church. Now, you know what you can do on your own? Nothing. But you know what you can do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything He tells you to do. That's what you can do with that. And so, when you begin to think about, well, I can't do that, remember that He said, all power is given unto Me. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. You know, one gift I did not get is the gift of tongues. And I do not mean in the way that Pentecostal people think about tongues. I can say, donde está la baño? And that's about, I'm asking you where the restroom is, and behind me back there. Right? That's not necessarily a gift of tongues. But some people are given that. You need to use that if you have it. You know, we live in an electronic day that's like no other. It's incredible. I have a lot of friends in Mexico, and when they Facebook me, and everybody thinks that's like the sign of Satan. Facebook is a useful tool. Now there's a lot of ungodly trash on that, and you know what? If that's as big as a lot of ungodly trash, unfriend those jokers. But you know what, my friends in Mexico, how wonderful it is. All I have to do is go click, and what they've texted me in Spanish becomes English. Isn't that an incredible day that we live? And I answer them in Tennessee hillbilly, and it goes right into Spanish when it hits Mexico. Isn't that an incredible thing? You talk about the gift of tongues. We need to use those outlets and quit saying we're not able. We need to just get rid of all that mentality. There's something every one of us can do as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing is, we're just not doing it. And when you boil the water off, that's all that's left is our lack of interest and our lack of commitment. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's our marching orders. Nothing has changed since then. Individual is very obedient to that as Paul, right up to the day he died. Peter, he kept going, didn't he? He's like me. You can tell Peter was a Baptist. He fell flat on his face a number of times. But he kept going, didn't he? You don't find that he ever quit. So I think the best thing that we need to do is, number one, quit saying, I can't. Quit saying, it's not my... You know what? Brother Reynolds cannot take care of this community by himself. And I know I saw your little population sign says 505 people. Well, that's just here. You have one of the largest cities in the United States, 40 miles from here. I mean, that is incredible. Right across the river, over in Illinois. I mean, could you imagine what a revival would bring to East St. Louis? I mean, really. I know about East St. Louis. My family lived at Granite for years.
Granite, the only thing that's different between East St. Louis and Granite is the river. Really, it is. It's an ungodly place. You know, they need the Lord. And here we sit, and we can't give a Saturday, a Friday afternoon, and then we wonder why we get so discouraged. We wonder why we want to quit. Well, it's because we're not doing nothing. You know, one thing that they teach you in nursing school is this. You use it or you lose it. And it's very true. When I was a young guy, before I went to nursing school, I worked in a nursing home as a CNA. And I would see people doing like this down the hall, dragging their stroke side. That's about the only treatment we knew back then. But now, there's a sister in our church that had a significant stroke. And if I didn't point her out to you, you would not know that she had a stroke. The Lord had done a miraculous thing, and He did it through the venue of physical therapy. She had an incredible amount of physical therapy. See, something was used to accomplish a purpose. And what is used to accomplish a purpose is me and you. But Wayne, you just have to find what you're going to do. You know what? I remember praying. I had finished my first pastorate. I told Brother Wayne I left that church because of illness. They got sick of me. And I wanted to know, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And very, very, very clearly He spoke, I want you to start a work in Dover. And I said, but. Because, that's man's nature. And at that time, there was a very sound church in the community where I live, Bumpus Mills Baptist Church. That's where Don and I live. And I couldn't imagine in all my mind why we would need another church just 10 miles south of where a very solid church was. But see, what I didn't know, and God did know, that powder keg was going to explode. And there needed to be another church. And so, you know, after about 2 weeks of wrestling with that thing, I just came down to this, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. And pretty much given myself to it. And I had left the nursing home. I needed a few minutes by myself. And I went and got a hamburger. And I was just driving. And you talk about God putting things in line. And I turn on the street. And there's a little 14 by 28 chapel building that said for rent across the top of it. I'm like, okay, Lord. And that was the beginning of New Testament Baptist Church. So it can be done. The thing of it is, we have to get out and do it and get this I can't, which is really, if we'll be honest, I won't attitude out of our mind and just get back to the Father's business. Brother Wayne, you come.